Okay. Those of you who were around back in June last year knew that I went to a conference about sending in a prophetic sense down in Torquay. God really impacted me and challenged me in terms of experiencing the love of God and intimacy. And he drew me into a place of intimacy in which he called me to go on a 40-day fast. And I went into that 40-day fast on the back of also a prophetic word that Michael Bryant actually gave me. He actually wrote a prophetic word out for me, and on the envelope it said, you know, read this one day a week for, I think, 6 weeks or something, which just about 40 days. So I went into that seeking God's prophetic direction. And I want to share just what that word was and what God did. This is what the word was. A change is coming and you cannot stop it. So be strong in my spirit and the things I've shown you. Prepare for the future and know that the harvest you long for is near. I'm raising up those near you to stand with you. Look for the rainbow within your heart. Ascend where I am, where you are seated, a door will open for you. Prepare for the future, ask of me and I will show you. And let me put that out and leave it there a minute. I prayed over that, not just once every day, but loads of times every day, seeking what that meant. You know, I know that change is coming. You know, God is a God of change for the good. I know that God wants us to prepare for a future harvest. You know, I know God wants to raise people up to work together as a team in ministry. And I needed to look for the rainbow within my heart. And, you know, I thought, what's the rainbow in my heart? You know, but God showed me. And while I was on that 40-day fast, for the first sort of 20 days of that fast, I tell you, it was really hard work. Not physically, just spiritually, basically being put on a cross and crucified of all the flesh and all the stuff of the flesh. And then God opened a door into the heavenly realms. And in the next 20 days, you know, I had about, I sort of wrote it down, those of you who are following the blog followed some of what I shared in that time. But I had about 78 different prophetic visions and encounters with God in the heavenly realms, direct encounters, face-to-face encounters, God speaking, revealing things, showing me things, things, you know, I'd never seen before, and definitely a door opened. And in it, it says there, prepare for the future, ask of me and I will show you. And that's what I went and did. God, I want you to prepare me and the church for the future, so I'm asking and I want you to show me. And he showed me all sorts of stuff. A lot of it, some of the stuff I've shared over the last few weeks, is pretty way out stuff. Stuff which I wasn't really prepared for. You know, I'm as happy to feel the love of God and experience God and purified and refined and all that sort of stuff. When God started talking about quantum physics and quantum mechanics and how he created the universe, it was a challenge. Because I was a biochemist, not a physicist. Physics was not my favourite subject, I'll tell you. I did not like physics particularly. And so God started speaking to me at light and the nature of light and it being particles and it being waves, the nature of sound and frequency and resonance and what was going on in the heavenly realm and the spiritual realm and what was happening in that spiritual realm and how we needed to connect up, and that everything in the whole realm of quantum physics was only showing what the Bible was already saying. And I've shared that over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I want to just sort of briefly go a bit further with that, and I want to show you some of the prophetic stuff that God showed me for the future. Now, I don't do that lightly, and it's taken me 6 months or more to get to the point of where I've been prepared to share some of it, but I am going to share some of it today if I get that far. I'm not showing how far I'm going to get. We've got to start in a bit earlier, so I've got a bit more time today. Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. God is speaking today. Are we hearing his voice is the key. Jesus said in John 16:12, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Until the Holy Spirit came, he couldn't reveal everything because he was talking about spiritual things, which they didn't have any understanding of. He used parables, but actually today God is using parables of a different nature because we have greater understanding. John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into how much truth?
All
the truth. That's a lot of truth. You know, I can remember Ian Clayton saying he picked up a blade of grass in heaven because he wanted to know all of God, and the amount of stuff that was in that blade of grass made him drop it because it fried his brain. Because God is infinite. There is so much, but the promise is all truth. Now, everything you need in truth for your life and your destiny is available. Everything that you need is available, and God wants to reveal it. He wants to disclose what is to come. For us as individuals, for our life, our destiny in God, the things he's already prepared for us before the foundation of the world, he wants to reveal. And the Holy Spirit came to reveal those things that are to come to us. Now, the choice is, you know, are we listening to it? Have you seen your future destiny? Because if you haven't seen it, you can't have it. That's how it works. You have to see it to have it. Faith is the substance of things you hope for, the things you've seen in the Spirit. God wants to show us all in the realm of the Spirit the things that are our destiny that was written on that scroll in heaven before we were all even thought of in a worldly sense. But in the thoughts of God, we are eternal. We've always been with God because he breathed his essence into us. Jesus was constantly connected to his future. John 5:19, only do the things I see the Father doing. I only say the things I hear the Father saying. He was constantly connected to his future. He was constantly connected to the realms of heaven. And he's given us the opportunity to be connected to. What realm are you connected to? Are you connected to the earthly realm most of the time? And occasionally a little bit of heaven? Or can you constantly live in two realms? Can you be connected to both every minute of every day? Shared last time that 1/1,000,000,000th of a second is a nanosecond, and 20,000 times every nanosecond, Planck's constant, blinks us in and out of that spiritual realm. It's like, it's a bit hard to get hold of, but the reality is we are constantly connected, and we can be. What are you seeing? Whose voice are you resonating with? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of God, or are you listening to other things? Here's the sources that you can listen to. James 3:15. Wisdom from above. Heavenly wisdom. Earthly wisdom. Natural wisdom. Demonic wisdom. You can listen to all those things. The question is, who are you resonating with? Who are you coming into agreement with? Because when you start to agree with the frequency of heaven, heaven comes to earth through your life, through my life. As we resonate with the heart of God, it starts to happen. So are we resonating with the third heaven, second heaven, first heaven, or ourselves? Those are the basic choices. Now, what we choose, because this is what it says, these little, 10 little words, 2-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. God has given us free will to choose. And we have a choice who we agree with. If it is to be, it is up to me. God doesn't force it. He's given us free will to choose him. I have free will. I have a choice. The only two power sources in heaven and on earth are God's and ours. Devil has no power source other than what we give him. And if we choose to agree with the second heaven and ourselves, we're empowering the enemy rather than God. Every time we say yes to God, we empower God and enable him to operate. That's why he speaks prophetically. Because it enables him to operate, because when we speak out of the prophetic realm of heaven, it can manifest on earth. God has chosen to partner with us. It's an amazing thing. God, the creator of the whole universe, has chosen to partner with us, and we have been given free will to choose or not to choose. Question is, what are we going to choose? What realm are we going to listen to? Now, I'd encourage you to listen to the realm of heaven, Because the stuff you hear there and the stuff you see there will engage you for your future. And will reveal that future to us. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created. Talking about Jesus, both in the heavens, on the earth, visible and invisible. So everything we see, and everything we can't see of this visible realm, because this visible realm is made up of mostly invisible stuff, and the invisible realms that we can't see, he is before all things. Now, that can be seen in two different ways. You are before me right now. So I'm before you right now. We're in that relationship. But actually, for some of you, I was before you in this building this morning. I came before you came. Some of you became before I did. But the reality is, Jesus is before all things. Everything. Past, present, and future. And he is connected, our connection to the future things. We are connected to the before spiritual realm. The spiritual realm operates higher than the speed of light here, therefore it is beyond our time. It operates outside of our time frame. So everything is always before for Jesus. The spiritual realm provides all the energy for this natural realm to exist. We only exist because Jesus holds all things together. If he didn't hold all things together, we would just not exist. He's holding it all together. Another verse says, holds it together by the word of his power. He's holding it together. They've proven that in the realm that they can't see, there's enough energy in one sugar cube of space, vacuum space, to empower the whole universe billions of times over. Because that is the omnipotence of God. God is an all-powerful God. He is the power that's keeping this universe in place. And we can be connected to that power source. Scientists call it zero-point energy. If you look up and Google zero-point energy, you'll find all sorts of stuff. But it actually talks about our world is being empowered from the spiritual realm. This spiritual realm is the real realm. The natural realm will always give precedence to the spiritual realm. Because God is spirit. We are spirit. Jesus has a spiritual body. We will get a new spiritual body one time in the future. Now, subatomic particles who run faster than the speed of light are called tachyons. Tachyon particles are a theoretical particle that quantum physicists hate. Because if they move faster than the speed of light, they can't measure them. Because if you set a computer to measure them at 12 o'clock, it would have to run backwards because they get there faster than the speed of light. Everything we receive from God comes to us faster than the speed of light. Our future, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, comes to us before it actually happens. 2/3 of the Bible was prophecy. God speaking before it happened. We can be connected to that realm. Einstein's equations. And again, they sent loads of people to the last two blackboards that Einstein was working on before he died, and they photographed the blackboards. They sent people to actually disprove what he'd found. And he was trying to disprove what he found. He was trying to disprove that there's a particle faster than the speed of light. But his actual equations prove that there was. And basically they sent a guy called Feinberg to actually disprove it. He couldn't disprove it, so he came out with the whole thing of tachyons. And this statement, Einstein's equations prove that the speed of light of an electron is present at all parts across its trajectory. In other words, if an electron does that and moves, it's present if it goes faster than the speed of light at each point all the time. The omnipresence of God. God is present all the time. All the time. That means all the time in our lives. I am is what Jesus said he was and is and will be. Always I am. He's always omnipresent. Therefore, that's what he said. It says, before Abraham was born, I am. He's always there. And this makes something really important for us to get hold of. And I want to just open this up a little bit. Think of that arc as a trajectory of your life. The path of your life what's happened in it. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He was there before your life started. He called your life into being. He will be there all through your life, and he will be there at the end of this physical life, because we are eternal beings. We'll never end. So, Jesus is here in the present. He's here with us today, and he wants to engage with us on a day-to-day basis, every minute of every day.
Amen.
So we can have a relationship with him, which is intimate and real, and have fellowship with him in which we are communicating and hearing his voice and seeing what he's doing all the time. But we have a past. Now, how many have things in your past that you don't like? Okay. Most people have got things in their past they don't like. How many of you are still dealing with some of those things? Quite a few of you. Therefore, we need Jesus to be operating in our past. But because he's omnipresent, of course he can. He's there. To him, it's still now. So you can engage your past with Jesus, and he can heal you and restore you and set you free, set the prisoners free, release you from captivity, bring everything into the present of where he is. Now really get hold of that. Everything that's happened in your past, he is present in. Because in that place of the spiritual realm, it's all now. He can change things. I'm not talking about time travel. I might talk about that sometime. I won't talk about it today. But in reality, Jesus is present in your past today. So there's nothing he can't heal or restore or make whole.
Amen.
That's really important to get hold of. So there's nothing that he can't do. He's present in our present. He's with us. We walk with him. He's also present in our future. And he wants to reveal our future. Jesus is before all things. Past, present, and future. And we can be connected to all three through him. So nothing in our past can hinder our future if we surrender it to God.
Amen.
If we want a future which is fulfilling our destiny, we need to get the disclosure of the things that God is revealing. We need to be connected, even if it's a nanosecond before it happens, to the supernatural realm. God wants to reveal every day to us. He wants us to be like Jesus, who saw what the Father was doing. How did he see what the Father was doing? Because he was connected and lived in two realms. I think Mike brought a scripture about it in John. And he was connected in two realms. We need that revelation. Now, it is a process. There's a lump of coal. James 1, 2. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Now, our life, we have various trials. Don't dismiss trials as the devil. Sometimes it can be the devil, can be the enemy wanting to mess things up, but actually seek what God is. Don't try and avoid the pressure and heat of life. Allow the pressure and heat to turn coal into a diamond. So often we try and avoid what God wants to do in us, and he doesn't refine us and purify us because we get out of the heat and the pressure. We try to avoid the trials. We need to count it joy because it transforms our lives. Anything God can bring good out of. That doesn't mean he brings all those situations, but he can bring all good out of it. So there's a lump of gold ore. If you want a nice golden nugget to come out of it, you need to deal with the things that are in your heart. The stones. Memories, hurts, pains, words, curses, unforgiveness, stuff. We've all got stuff. It's a very good term, stuff. It talks about all sorts of stuff. Strongholds. We have to allow the pressure of God's presence to transform us. Another situation. There's a heart full of stuff. Worry, anxiety, fear, cares, burdens. Read the parable of the sower. It's what stopped the word of God producing fruit. Worry. What are we going to do? We're going to count those things as joy. We're going to count the things we're going through and live in an attitude of praise. And an attitude of praise, even if we have to get it into the compost heap, which is again pressure and heat, overcoming trust, surrendering ourselves and our lives to God, and trusting Him. Trusting Him. Stop trying to do it yourself.
Amen.
Yes. All you do is mess it up.
Amen.
Allow Him to do it. Seek first the kingdom,
yes,
and everything else gets added.
Yes.
Everything. We don't have to worry, fear, care, burden, all that stuff. Seek first the kingdom.
Yes.
Put God first.
Yes.
What happens? New soil, new growth,
yes,
new and good stuff that God is going to reveal and bring. Now I've got another one for you today. There's some grit and there's a pearl. Frustrations, annoyance, irritation, things that cause me impatient, grit. Some people are like grit. Some stuff is like grit. You know, you can let grit cause an infection, or you can let grit produce perfection. Because again, if you have the attitude of patience and perseverance through the stuff that goes on in our lives, if we enter into God's rest,
amen,
if we come into that place of rest, then we can turn grit into pearls. Gentle and humble in heart was the attitude that Jesus had. Didn't mean He was meek and mild. Gentleness is strength under control. He was surrendered to God's control. Strong, powerful, humbled Himself, only did what He saw the Father doing, only did the will of the Father who sent Him. We need to take His yoke upon us.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what it says. Take my yoke upon you,
amen,
learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Find rest for your souls.
Amen, yes.
Pearls of wisdom can come from grit and irritation if we allow the process to transform us.
Yeah.
It's a process of transformation that we're in. God wants us to come with joy, even with the difficult stuff, to come with praise, because it transforms our lives. Now, God is light. He's creative light. He created everything. There is created light, which is the sun and the moon and the stars and all the other things which He created to bring light. In the Genesis story, there was light before He created the sun. His light. In Revelation 22, it says, when He comes to dwell with man, there will no need for the sun, because He will be the light. He is light. John 12:36, while you have the light, believe in the light, so you may become sons of light, children of light. We are called to be children of light. Now, I'm not going to go into all the things today of what light is and how it works, but it is really important. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Amen.
There is a new level of light that's coming upon God's people.
Yes.
His glory is going to shine. That light is the light of revelation. It's a light of power and spiritual dynamics beyond what most people even imagine or think. Some of the things God showed me in heaven about what is going to take place will freak you out. I'm not going to tell you them all today. But they will freak you out. Some of the things that's going to happen on earth that we're going to have to encounter and battle with will freak you right out. But we've got to be ready and we've got to be prepared. God is restoring those upper bandwidths of light to His children. Dimensions of God's power and revelation and authority is being restored to His children. If we are children of the light, we can operate in creative light, not just created light. Because we're children of God and children of His light. Sound frequency is being released from heaven today. There's a frequency being released from heaven, the sound of God. And some of us are hearing it. Some of the musicians are starting to pick it up. It's like it's coming from heaven. Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfall. I went up and down loads of waterfalls in heaven. I struggled to get up them first because my head would not engage with how can you get up a waterfall which is flowing down. I had to have help. Holy Spirit helped me, angels helped me, until I learned how to go up and down. Because heaven operates on a totally different spiritual realm. It's like water can pass through you in heaven. It's totally different. But there's something about the deep things of God and the voice of God which is calling out to the deep things in our spirit today. There's a sound coming out of heaven that he wants us to start resonating with. It's like the sound of waterfalls. If you put an oscilloscope which measures waves of sound in a waterfall or near a waterfall, it will go off both ends at the same time. Because there's something deeper in that waterfall than that our natural ears can hear, and there's something higher in that waterfall beyond what our natural ears can hear. But in our spirit, we can be connected and hearing the voice of God. Revelation 1:15. His voice is like the sound of many waters. That's what it sounds like. It's the sound of many waters. And in that sound of many waters, there's all sorts of things God is saying. But we can hear it. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Now I have a two-edged sword here. I've not sharpened it yet. I'm thinking about it. But in 2009, I went to a conference, and in that conference, God wrestled with me and challenged me to pick up a sword. And I didn't want to pick up a sword because I'm a really nice guy. But I don't want to be controversial, and I don't want to offend people. But God told me to pick up a sword, and I really struggled for 2 days to be obedient. And in the end, he shook me so violently in that conference, I had to pick it up. And in picking up that sword, it was a challenge to me personally in my flesh. Because I didn't want to be offensive. And I knew some of the bringing the sword was to cause a dividing line. And Jesus brought a sword. Now some of you might not like that. Just before I give that thing, God is love. That's the total motive of everything he does, love.
Yes, Lord. Thank you,
Father. He's always smiling on us in love. Even when he disciplines us, he's always smiling. But he does discipline us. Matthew 10:34. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. That sword is to set a dividing line. It divides things. Who is for me and who is against me? You can't sit on the fence. It's really uncomfortable sitting on the edge of a sword. You can't sit on the fence. There is no in between with God. It's black and it's white. And God is calling us to say, who are we for? Who are we listening to? Who are we agreeing with? The challenge is, come in. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. This sword of the spirit, the word of God, is going to divide our soul and our spirit. It's going to divide what is of the flesh, what is of the soul, what is of the spirit in our lives, and in the church, and in the world. The sword is coming to our lives. Now, you cannot avoid it, because it is coming. It was coming from the mouth of Jesus. It is going to divide the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. It's going to show us what our hearts are engaged with. And it isn't going to be easy. But it is going to transform us and the world in which we live. The sword is coming to the church. Just this church, the church. It is coming to cause division. Who are for me and who are against me? Because there's so much of the church, it isn't really the church. It's just people who go along to church. Church isn't a building, is it? Church is not a meeting either. Church is a people called out and gathered to meet with the presence of the living God and to serve him.
Amen.
That's what the church is.
Yes.
You know, we did jettisoned in the charismatic circles that the church was about buildings years ago. Then it became meetings. Going to the meeting. Actually, it's nothing to do with meetings. It's about Him and who we are.
Yes.
We are His people, and church is 24/7 every day. That's what it is. Yes. It's who we are every day of the week.
Amen.
In our jobs, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, it is who we are. And God is bringing a sword to the church. Because He wants to know who's for Him and who's against Him in what is to come. Because what is to come is going to cause a lot of stuff which is going to be challenging. We need to get ready. Get ready so we are prepared to see. We have to see what God is going to release. We've got to see into that supernatural realm of what is to come. We need to be prepared to be transformed. Because it's like the state of our lives as it is, we will be fried when the glory of God starts coming. I tell you, Ananias and Sapphira couldn't lie to the Holy Spirit without dropping down dead. I don't want anyone dropping down dead here. You might have to raise them up. But the reality is, the level of holiness that's going to be required for the church of Jesus to perform the things and the works of Jesus in the world is way higher than it is right now.
Amen.
Levels are going to increase. And at the new level, and we know God has called us to a new level of His presence, there's a new level of holiness that's required.
Amen.
What we could get away with before, we will not be able to get away with what's coming. And God is going to open up and reveal those things to us. We have to be prepared. We have to be prepared to act. We cannot sit on our chairs and do nothing. We've got to be prepared to act. We've got to be prepared for warfare. Warfare is coming. It's like what we see today is nothing to what we're going to see. We've got to be prepared to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven on earth. We can't live by the ways and means of the world. We have to be in it, but we can't be of it.
Amen.
We have to live by the kingdom and the presence and the power of the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors to bring heaven on earth.
Amen.
That's our commission. To bring heaven to earth. As it is in heaven, so it is on earth.
Amen.
Through our lives. That's what God is calling us to. We have to be prepared to be revealed as sons of God.
Amen.
Sons of God who are going to shine with glory.
Yes.
Jesus was transfigured here on earth. That means we can be transfigured here on earth. It's going to freak people out when the glory of God starts shining out of people, visibly. But Jesus did it as a demonstration of what we're to do. What did He say? These works that I do, you will do also. And? Greater? There's a whole load more stuff that we've got to go to. We have to be prepared to take dominion. God called Adam and Eve to take dominion over the planet.
Yes.
Satan took that. Jesus came to restore it. We have to be prepared to operate in the ways of God's kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, prophetic timetable. I'm going to give you about 10 minutes of this, I think. Daniel 12:4. As for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. We're in the time when the seals are being broken on the books that were sealed up. There's revelation coming. Revelation of the truth of God's word. Revelation from the heavenly realms, which actually is to prepare us for these days. 1 Corinthians 2:9 there. Things which I have not seen and hear has not heard and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for them. That's not a very encouraging verse unless you read the next one. Because that's in capitals there, because it's from the Old Testament. Because there were things in the Old Testament that could not be revealed. There were things to Jesus' disciples before the Holy Spirit came that could not be revealed. Nicodemus could not understand spiritual things that had no earthly counterpart. Today, God is revealing those things. For to us, God's revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, How many things is all things?
Everything.
So that's everything about us, everything about God, all things, even to the depths of God. And he's revealing them to his people in these days to prepare us for what's to come. The prophetic books are being opened, and in opening those books, there's new and fresh revelation being released. I'm not going to give you dates about things. I'm going to give you a prophetic expectation about periods of time that God is going to be doing stuff in the future. But we have to get ready and we have to be prepared. If we're not ready and not prepared, we're in for a big shock. Because the challenge that God is going to bring and the things we're going to have to do in the kingdom of God right now will really, really challenge you. Spiritual warfare will become more open. In this country, spiritual warfare is hidden. Most of it is done behind doors. Intercessors and people are trying to engage the heavenly realms. Most of them are engaging them from here when they should be engaging them from up there. We need to go to the third heaven to engage the heavenly realms, and we need to come through the second heaven bringing the glory of God to transform it and refine it and purify it. That stuff, it's like, I'll teach one day. Matthew 24:37. As in the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, that is a challenging verse. Jesus spoke that. As in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So if you look at what was going on in the days of Noah, it will give you an indication of what is going to be going on in the days when Jesus returns. But the difference in what happened with Noah and the difference before what happens when Jesus returns is one was defeat and one is going to be victory. The whole planet was wiped out other than Noah. The whole planet can be saved. I'm not saying everyone is going to be saved, but the potential of these days when there are so many billions of people on earth is there is going to be more people in heaven than in hell. There is not going to be a defeat for God's people. Jesus is going to come back for a church without spot and blemish, prepared and ready for his return. But we have to be ready to deal with the stuff that happened. Now I'm just going to give you a glimpse of this. I shared this when we talked about spiritual warfare and the seed of woman and the seed of Satan being in opposition, being challenged. There's conflict. Always been conflict. The enemy has always sought to wipe out the seed. Cain killed Abel. They tried to wipe out Moses. They tried to wipe out Jesus. At this point in time, the enemy's strategy was to pollute and genetically make impure the people on the earth. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. So there were Nephilim on before the flood and after the flood. When the sons of God, fallen angels, came to the daughters of men and bore children to them, they were mighty men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's terrible, isn't it? Think of it. The thoughts and intents are evil continually. Why? Because they have been genetically changed. Nephilim were the result of fallen angels and humans mating and becoming genetically impure. If you take how many people there were at the flood, even at a very conservative estimate, using a population equation which is used today to say what the future population will be, there was around 17 billion people. That's way more than there are now. The spirits of those people, because they were genetically impure, if when God actually started, and when God actually said, when he made the world, he said, each thing will reproduce after its kind, didn't it? Genetically. No cross-pollination of species. Each thing would reproduce after its kind. This was not after its kind. Angels were never encaged to engage with man. But they left their place, it says in Jude, and they came. Those Nephilim spirits are still around. They weren't human spirits. They were unclean spirits. They're what we call the demons today. They're still roaming the earth. They've got no place. They can't go to any place. Because they were not human spirits. So there's a whole load of demonic spirits all over the earth roaming around today looking to effect and challenge. There's a whole lot of fallen angels in the second heaven who are looking to control them. And you and me. Now this stuff is pretty freaky, but we have to get ready and be prepared. Because the spiritual warfare, which has been hidden, is going to become more open. If you go to Africa, or Brazil, or places that are in the third world where the spiritual stuff is really open, you can see things which you wouldn't see when we cast out a demon here. We get a bit of screaming or a bit of wriggling and this, that and the other. We don't get transformation into werewolves or snakes or other things. I'm talking about physical transformation. That's what happens in Africa. It happens in Brazil. I ministered up in the Amazon jungle, went up to a place in there and started ministering there with a group of people, and we actually started praying for a girl who spun like a top so fast that I could not see her. And that was physically. And I was like, what is this? It's like we were all like gobsmacked. But anyway, we told it to get out and it left. Now, you don't have to be frightened of this stuff. We have the authority in Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
It's like we have the power over demonic powers to cast them out in Jesus' name. But it was pretty freaky all the same. It's like to see someone spin so fast that it wasn't humanly possible was really, really freaky. But we took authority and cast it out. I know many people who've ministered in Africa. I know Todd Bentley, when he ministered there in Africa, they had a big pit, they called the snake pit at the front, they lined it with people and they ministered. Anybody who started manifesting in the meetings, they took them up, put them in that pit. It's like, I'm not going to tell you what went on in that pit, but it would blow most people's minds. The open power of the demonic in those realms is there. Witch doctors operate in that stuff. They can do things which would freak people out. Now today, this is tightening on that, is it? Alright, okay. I'll use the handheld, sorry. Okay. But it is going to become more open. So when we start ministering, because the light is going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Yes, it may get darker and darker and darker, but the light is going to shine. He is going to expose the darkness that's going on in this nation. Those things that are hidden, the occult just means hidden. The occult will not be able to hide when the light starts to shine. And it is going to start to shine. Spiritual warfare will become so open that we will be casting demons out of people and on the streets and in Tesco's and in other places, because the power of God will expose the demonic. When you walk around and the power of God and the glory of God is so strong on you that you will bring conviction of sin, righteousness and judgment, which is what it says in John 16, the Holy Spirit is so strong in you that people cannot walk past you without either running or getting on their knees. It is going to come. If we start resonating with the voice of God from heaven and we start shining and receiving that light and operating in that light. Now, I'm going to finish with this just to give you a brief glimpse, because I'll share the rest of it next week or some of it. There's a prophetic timetable God showed me. Each of these things is a period of time which is a dotted line there. It doesn't stop, okay? Each period goes on underneath the other periods. And then there's another period which goes on. In this time, there's going to be an increasing number of apostolic centers. God having centers where he is equipping people in apostolic power and ministry in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Fivefold ministry gifts are going to be released to the body. Increasingly. Increasing manifestation of a people who are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is going to increase. There's going to be an increased shaking of every world system that there is to shake. The financial system, the medical system, any system you've got out there is going to be shaken. And the only thing that can remain is the things that are based on the kingdom of God. There's going to be increasing world darkness. But church, light. Come on, we're going to shine in this darkness. increasing manifestations of the glory and signs and wonders, which is going to demonstrate God's kingdom in heaven here on earth. Now, there's a couple of things I just want to touch on. The first one of those periods started, and it's already here, a call to intimacy and love. You know, you can read Song of Solomon, you can read what God is doing, you can experience the presence of God. How many people are experiencing the presence of God in His love more than they were last year? Yeah, it is happening. That is to prepare us for the coming of the sword. Because there is going to be a gathering of stumbling blocks and the refiner's fire. Now, you don't have to be frightened of that. You can fall on the rock and be broken. I'd rather do that than the rock fall on me and be crushed. But whatever way, God is going to do it. And it's up to us which way. We can surrender to it and allow God to do it or not. That's another picture of how that is. These are the periods, the first period and the second period. Now, personally, I've engaged with three of these periods myself personally. In Acts 2, there was wine, fire, and wind of the Spirit. Now, it says that the early rain was great, but there's going to be a latter rain which is even better. So all the wind and the fire and wine of the first pouring out of the Holy Spirit is only the little bit of what's going to be poured out at the end. We haven't seen nothing yet. Should have said anything, but nothing sounds better than it. The wine of the Spirit, personally, I experienced in 1993 through a guy called Rodney Howard Brown, actually. Rodney Howard Brown brought those things to the Pentecostal arm of the church, and laughter, and he was described as Joel's bartender of pouring out. God was pouring out the wine of the Spirit. What happened then in Toronto, they picked up on that. You know, it was wild. You know, as a church, we were burst from that in more for 94. More of the Spirit in 1994. We were birthed in that. It was wild and like a zoo. Those of you who remember it was like a zoo. It's like, it caused warfare in the church. It was prophesied by Bob Jones in 1983 that this was going to take place. It took place and it caused division. Most of the people in this country were on the side of God. Even the Church of England, they came out and said, no, these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit, we're going for it.
Amen.
Holy Amen. Trinity Brompton particularly were in the forefront of that. Awesome. And it's like, in America it was totally different. It caused division. So much so that the Vineyard Church threw out Toronto from their whole movement. And have never been the same since. Pensacola. The fire. Now I went to Pensacola. And it was the most intense fire of the presence of God I've ever experienced. Anywhere. It was intense. You could not walk in that place without wanting to get on your knees in repentance. People ran to the front, including me, to repent. And I couldn't even think of anything to repent of. It's like, I ran to the front in repentance. Just got on my knees and cried to God. Because my spirit was so touched by the fire of His presence. That was just a flicker of what is coming. It's a flicker of what is coming. The wind. Now some of us were touched by what happened in Lakeland. Whatever you believe about Lakeland, it was God. Yeah, man got involved in it and there are unwise things that happened, but it was God. You cannot touch the TV screen and be changed if it isn't God. And how many of us did that?
Amen.
We did. It was the presence of God. It was the wind. Now it disrupted all sorts of stuff. It was a worldwide thing over the internet and over TV and God TV. The wind blew. That was just a breeze to what is coming. And it's like that disrupted all sorts of stuff. But it's going to come a wind of the Spirit which is going to blow and nothing is going to stop it.
Yeah.
Nothing. You can't tell where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. It is going to blow powerfully, more powerfully than any of us really know. Before Jesus returns, that wind is going to blow. The former glory is going to be nothing compared to the latter glory of the house. The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So those first two areas, a habitation of God. We need to be a habitation of God's presence. We need to know God is in us. The Father and Son and Spirit came to dwell in us. John 14. They made their abode. Jesus went to prepare us to be a place where the Holy Spirit could dwell. And the Father and Spirit could dwell. When we come to worship, we need to release what's in us. To fill the environment. We don't come to suck what's in the environment in. We come to let what's in out. The presence of God in us. And there's going to be a gathering and removing of stumbling blocks. I'm going to finish there.